Reading in Jude, beginning with verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Is God's vengeance sufficient? That's my little text this morning. Is God's vengeance sufficient? Without ours. Come on. I asked you a question. Is God's vengeance sufficient?
Yes.
Without ours.
Yes.
Without yours.
Yes.
Without mine. Amen. The vengeance of God is such an important doctrine in the Scripture. It's mentioned some 39 times in the Bible, in both Testaments. The very word. Amen. Huge. Amen. And since God's vengeance is an important doctrine of the Bible, you don't have to get even. Ever. Because nobody gets away with anything. There is nothing swept under the rug. Nothing hid that shall not be revealed. Amen. You think you've been done dirty? Just be quiet. Amen. Don't make too much of a fracas about it. Amen. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Amen. Amen. You see, young Saul of Tarsus was running around Jerusalem when they crucified the Lord. He was in the crowd. He was still there. Amen. When the church had its birth and he picked up the torch of persecution. Amen. He held the coats of the young men that stoned Stephen. He was there when Stephen was stoned. He was hollering, "Sick 'em." Amen. Just a young man. Way down the road, he said, 5 times I was beaten with rods. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I was stoned to death. Amen. He told all the things he went through. You know what Paul was doing? He was reaping what he had sown. He was reaping the sins of his youth. Even grace didn't let him off. Come on. Pardon me this morning for this sour note to your theology, if it might be the case. Amen. But vengeance will happen. The harvest will come in. Amen. For God's vengeance is sufficient.
Amen.
Jesus said just before he was crucified, wept over Jerusalem. Amen. Told about the things that's going to happen. And he said in Luke 21:22, these be the days of vengeance. Then all things are written might be fulfilled. Amen. Vengeance of God. Listen to this in 2 Thessalonians 1:8 in the New Testament.
in flaming fire. This is the coming of the Lord. Taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. No, they don't get by. Romans 3:5, but if our righteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? Amen. I speak as a man. Amen. Oh, listen to the writer. Amen. In the Old Testament, way back yonder, under the jurisdiction of the law, Psalm 94:1, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Amen. Isaiah 35:4, say unto them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense. That's what vengeance is. It pay to the wicked. The payoff for what they've worked out. Amen. And a fit payday. He will come and save you. Praise God. The Lord is going to deliver His people. Isaiah 59:17. For He hath put on righteousness as a breastplate and an helmet of salvation upon His head. And He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as with a cloak. Deuteronomy 32:35 tells us who vengeance belongs to. To me, God speaking, belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them, make haste. Amen. God took vengeance on Cain in the beginning. Amen. And then Lamech slew a man, and this was his proclamation. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Amen. He said, if I whip my glittering sword, Deuteronomy 32:41, and mine hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me. Amen. But we think we got to get even. Amen. And so we scheme to get even. We plan to get even. We give our thoughts and mind and meditations to our hatreds and our grudges. And someday, a voice down inside says, someday it'll be just right and I'll get even. Because we don't think God's vengeance is sufficient. But, Brother God, just because you're a Christian, I don't mean you let people run over you. Amen. That's because we don't believe God's vengeance is sufficient. Amen. Listen again. Amen. He said, for even as Sodom and Gomorrah and cities about them, in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Eternal? I thought Sodom and Gomorrah got burned up. burned to a crisp. But Sodom's fire is still burning lower down. Even some writers and some theologians feel sorry for Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. Because God destroyed them. I wouldn't serve a God like that. But look further down. The vengeance is still going on. A soul go to hell and burn forever? Yes. That's the vengeance of God. The long-term vengeance of God is the vengeance of eternal fire. Fire's bad enough. Fire and brimstone bad enough. Have your city burned up and wives, husbands, and children burned up, that's bad enough. But eternal fire's worse. That's why Jesus said it's better to go to heaven with one eye plucked out than just have both eyes and go to hell fire. Amen. That's why Jesus said it's better to go to heaven with just one arm than it is to go to hell with both arms. Amen. Therefore, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. Amen. Oh, yes. There are a lot of folks that question the theological correctness of the surgery, but there's one thing you can't question the theological correctness of, and that is the fact that Jesus said it's better, if that be the case, than it is to go to hell fire, because eternal fire lasts forever. Hell is eternal. Hell is everlasting. Amen. And that's why God can let Christians be persecuted around the world and seem to be silent. That's why God can stand back and let the saints be slain wholesale. Amen. And seem like do nothing for the moment. That's why God let Saul of Tarsus go until he cut him down on the Damascus road. Amen. And converted him and baptized him and turned him loose to preach the same thing that he once stood against. Praise God. And Saul was glad to do it, even though he reaped what he sowed. He said, I glory in my sufferings. Thank God, folks. Amen. The suffering for the saints ends right here. The devil can't do nothing but kill you. And he can't eat you after he kills you. Hallelujah. If he did, we'd make him sick. Amen. Hallelujah. He can't stand holy. A holy diet. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Amen. The devil can only kill. The Bible said, don't fear them which kill the body, which after that they have killed the body, it is all they can do. But he said, fear him rather which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell fire. Brother, that it's the vengeance of God. I already preached to you that hell starts right here for a lot of folks. A lot of folks reap a whole lot right here on this side. It's a good thing, because some of them, like Saul of Tarsus, get saved. Some of them, like the Philippian jailer, get saved. Amen. God, Paul caught him just in time. Said, sir! Do thyself no harm. We're all here. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. If it had been me, I'd have probably struck out running in the dark. Amen. Saul said, do thyself. He still had a job to do. He had a revival to start in the Philippian jail. Hallelujah. He didn't strike out running. Oh, glory to God. He left it in the hands of God. Amen. And started a revival in the Philippian jail and made the Philippian jailer the charter member of the church. Paul and Silas went down to old Philippi and determined that they had preached the word or die. When a damsel helpless to defeat them tried her best, until Paul turned around and blacked the devil's eye. So they locked him up with none to go their bail, but they sang prayed to one who cannot fail. Then an earthquake shook the place, and the jailer showed his face. Paul said, "Do thyself no harm, we've not broke jail. Oh, I'd rather be on the inside looking out than to be on the outside looking in. Then this hallelujah bunch went and had a midnight lunch. Well, I'm glad I'm on the inside looking out." Stand with me. Praise God. Let's thank God, even though we're persecuted, even though we're misunderstood. Amen. With all your blessings, we probably need a little persecution to hold us down. With all the goodness of God we enjoy, we probably need a little trials and tests. Amen. To keep us on even keel. Keep us looking up. Keep us wanting to go to heaven. Hallelujah. Father, bless this altar call. Help somebody to put their case in the hands of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. While they sing, we invite you around God's altar. Amen.